Hello, and welcome to another episode of At Any Rate. I'm your host, Natasha Kanova, and I head Global Commodities Research at JP Morgan. Today on the podcast, we want to talk about the role of U.S. supply in the global oil and natural gas markets. Over the past several weeks, and especially today, it has become clear that the call for shale oil and gas has turned into a cry for shale oil and gas, as demand in both the global oil and natural gas markets has performed exceptionally well so far. Right now, we're in the middle of the fourth quarter earnings season, and there is no confusing the messaging that is coming from the U.S. oil and gas upstream community with regards to their plans for 2022 production. The message is there will be growth. So we already had a couple producers forecasting U.S. oil production growth of about 800-900 KBD in 2022. And it's become very, very visible that at the heart of the U.S. production growth is the story of the Permian shale play and indications that several major producers are willing to significantly ramp up production in the play. Today, I'm joined by my colleagues on JP Morgan's commodities research team, Ted Hall and Shiva Chaturvedi. Welcome, guys. Who will help guide us through exactly how we should think about the Permian play role and ultimately the U.S. supply role in the global oil and gas natural markets. Ted, starting with oil, considering all the news we're reading now about Cushing reaching tank bottoms very soon, what is your outlook for the U.S. oil production in 2022? And most importantly, will there be enough production soon enough to come to actually alleviate the situation in Cushing?
Thanks, Natasha. So at Cushing, we're drawing at a rate where we could be at tank bottoms in a matter of weeks. We're already seeing reactions in pricing to reflect that. What we haven't seen is reaction in pricing in West Texas to encourage more barrels to flow to Cushing. So that's something I think we should see soon, especially with the growth we expect. I think part of that might be the freeze-offs we saw in January and that we're seeing right now in the basin. But to the question, will U.S. supply come quickly enough? The answer is no. We are growing at a pretty linear pace throughout the year. We expect 850,000 barrels a day of growth in 2022, up to 12.6 million barrels a day at the end of the year. That's up from about 11.7 million barrels a day today. But it won't be quick enough to solve the Cushing problem in the near term. But as far as the growth we expect, we think it's completely justified. Global inventories are below the 2015 to 2019 range. They're still drawing. We expect really strong demand growth this year. And while OPEC is adding back volumes, by the end of the year, we think many members will be falling short of quotas. So the market needs the supply. Like you said, it's turned into a cry for shale. And we've seen a kind of tone shift in the market that reflects that. You know, thinking back to this time last year, any operator who guided significant growth was punished in the market. The investors made it very clear they did not want operators to grow. They wanted them to maintain capital discipline, return value to investors, pay down debt, and short their balance sheets. But today we've heard from BlackRock, we heard from Ray Dalio, we've even heard from officials in the Biden administration. Everyone seems to be using softer language, even language that seems like they're open to production growth. And even operators themselves are expecting growth numbers in line with ours. So we're still early in earnings season with some major U.S. independents coming out with guidance in the next 2 or 3 weeks. After that, we'll have a clear idea of what to expect. But today our number feels like the base case for the market.
Thank you, Ted. Yesterday, I was reading a very interesting article in Wall Street Journal, and the article was discussing is that the only source of growth in the U.S. seemed to be Permian as other basins are running out of inventories or running out of resources and reserves. So in the numbers you're looking at, how much of that growth you're forecasting, how much of that would be coming from the Permian basis versus other places?
So, I mean, the Permian has been the major growth engine for U.S. production for years now, and it's going to continue to be. Of that 850,000 barrels a day of growth this year, we expect about 650 of that to come from the Permian. It's almost exactly the pace we saw in 2021. As far as the resource availability in other basins, I think that that's a narrative we've heard for a while about, especially in the Bakken. We've drilled up all the core assets, and now we're moving out to the non-core, and productivity is going to fall off, and there's no inventory. But we haven't really seen that reflected in the numbers significantly enough to take it seriously yet. I think looking forward, if we're talking about a 5-year outlook, then yeah, maybe we can talk about lower productivity rates and lower reserves for these operators. But if you look through history, operators always have 10 years of reserves and 10 years of well inventory. And next year they'll have 10 years of well inventory, and the next year they'll have 10 years of well inventory. So I think that conversation is a little short-sighted. But it's clear that the growth engine is going to be the Permian.
So Ted, and considering the numbers you're projecting in terms of growth, pipeline capacity, are there any issues there? Would there be enough capacity?
The growth numbers coming out of the Permian are big, but we absolutely have enough pipeline capacity. We really don't expect, under our current forecast, we really don't expect the Permian to have issues with takeaway capacity until after 2023. So we're not really concerned about that, but Sheikha will tell you this, on the gas side, I think that's a much different conversation.
Mm-hmm. Sheikha, this is a perfect transitioning to gas. So clearly Permian is a large gas producer as well. What are your expectations there?
Yeah, so we kind of use Ted's forecast for oil production and our forecast for oil production in the Permian as our guide for our natural gas production. So in that play, just to kind of put some numbers around it, for the entire United States in 2022, we expect 3.6 BCF a day of sequential growth. And of that, 50% of that growth comes from the Permian. So it is actually driving the growth prospect. And it's very interesting to see for the first time in quite some time that oil plays are what are driving the natural gas production growth. I think that it's such a weird juxtaposition right now on what's going on with freeze-offs right now in the Permian that Ted mentioned. I know it's very cold over there in Texas right now, so stay warm. But ultimately, we have 6.5% of production that's offline. But the market, right, is starting to realize, especially from the sort of rhetoric that we're seeing from the oil shale producers and that we're hearing right now in the earnings season, that we could actually see significant growth on the natural gas side. And so that 1.8 BCF a day, I think, has started to kind of get captured in price weakness as we move further along the Waha forward curve, which is the West Texas regional price. And it tends to suggest, as Ted kind of alluded to, that we could reach capacity constraints. So under our scenario right now, just to do just some quick math, we think there's 16.5 BCF a day of takeaway capacity that's in the Permian. December ended at around 13.5 BCF a day of production. So if we think that we have 1.8 BCF a day of growth, we get to 15.3 BCF a day, and then literally we start to hit up against the capacity constraints in 3Q23. And that's really what the curve is reflecting right now. And I think that all the excitement around the oil production has given a chance for the market to realize and let it sink in that we could see capacity constraints by 2023.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Sheikha, you gave us some scenarios. So Ted, in your mind, if we look at the probability distribution, so you said that producers are guiding us 800, 900, you have a little bit higher number. So what is the probability distribution? If you look, how much more growth could come out of the basin?
So I think in probability terms, it feels like where our forecast is, it feels dead center. If we look back a few months ago, our forecast felt a little, we haven't changed it that much since then, but if, it felt like we were being a little aggressive. Today, it feels like we're right in that 50th percentile. As far as how quickly oil production could grow in 2022, I think the major physical constraint to production growth is availability of frac crews. That's the equipment and the labor that takes these drilled wells and fracks them, completes them, and turns them into producing wells. So looking at the frac capacity, so our colleagues in the oil field services equity research at JP Morgan, they expect that we're going to be at 90% of useful capacity in 2022. And their frac utilization numbers are similar to ours. So if we push that utilization number to the max, to 100%, then we think you could reasonably see as much as 1.25 million barrels a day of growth in the Permian. And theoretically, like if you really stretch that, you could see as much as 1.4 million barrels a day. That's in probability terms, you know, a 1.25 number I'd put in the 90th percentile, and the 1.4 I'd put in the 95th. So they're not likely, but they're certainly possible.
Okay, so when you say 95, it means that it's almost impossible, yes?
Yeah, very, very, very.
Yes, impossible. Okay. So Shika, if Ted is correct with his numbers, what does it mean for gas production, takeaway capacity, and indeed, what does it mean for gas prices?
Geez, Ted, you're throwing out some big numbers here. and this is probably why we're starting to see all the weakness kind of move forward on the Waha forward curve, even into summer 22. But if let's take your 1.25 sort of scenario, and we see that growth that's coming from the Permian, let's say that's around 800 KBD versus your 650, that actually could mean that we would hit capacity constraint levels in mid-23s to even 2Q23. So, right, where I was at 3Q23 before, I would say now we're closer to 2Q23. In your 1.4 scenario, I'm extremely nervous about what's going to happen, because it really suggests that we could hit capacity constraints by the end of 22. So it's not a great look for natural gas in the Permian, particularly when natural gas causes negative price, can turn into negative pricing and be such a cost and a detriment to oil producers. And I really think that if we're talking about those levels, we can get to those negative prices even faster than we've had before. What I would say also, though, that might be interesting is that, you know, like we expect like a pipe should just come on, right? And there's this push and pull between the midstreams and the upstreams about getting pipes online. And it's a sort of a game of chicken, right? Which one's going to blink first? And ultimately, at the end of the day, it tends to be the producer once you start to see these prices come into place. And that's really what we're seeing right now, is that there's no real new plan for a project out there, although we are getting hints that, you know, there is a project that's necessary. One of the reasons why I think that there's a push for a project right now is because we're in a completely different environment than we were in 2019 from a decarbonization ESG perspective. We spent the entirety of 2020 and 2021 from the upstream community hearing about decarbonization and the lack of flaring and the ability to control the methane that's coming out of the wellhead. And to me, it seems incredibly difficult for some of those producers to turn back on that messaging, right? So ultimately, if you can't flare the gas, and you get the gas, that means you can't produce the oil, right? So ultimately you get stuck, and it could start to slow down of the oil production that we're seeing.
That's a really, really good point, Shika. So like thinking back to 2018 and 2019, oil producers generally, you know, they treated gas mainly as a byproduct of oil production. And if they ran into capacity constraints, many of them would just flare it. And the Railroad Commission then, you know, it was effectively any flaring application went through. Today, the Railroad Commission has changed their tone completely. They've even made some examples of some operators on flaring applications. So it's really a great point. If we ran out of physical gas takeaway and operators didn't have the option to flare, whether it's pressure from governments or pressure from investors from this ESG perspective, they would have to stop flowing oil. So that would mean a complete slowdown in activity. You know, it wouldn't be across the board. It would be operator by operator, you know, sub-region by sub-region, but it would be an immediate slowdown in oil drilling activity, which could have a really big impact on the forecast. So again, that's a 2023 story. Theoretically, we're talking about remote probabilities, but that's a really interesting point you make.
Ted, to this point, so far all the probabilities you gave us are distributed towards a higher number. So considering the constraints, the ESG constraints, the carbonization constraint, inflation constraint, availability of labor and steel products and so on. So what is actually the probability or scenarios to the downside, the numbers actually coming lower than what you're expecting?
So, I mean, sure. Assuming our price forecast, which is relatively a relatively flat price from where we are today, it's hard to see a lot of downside risk In U.S. oil production, it's from where we are. I think it could come in a little lower on well productivity, but I think it's more important to talk about the reasons it can't get much higher, and there are a lot of reasons for that. So in addition to the tight frac market we talked about, where there's just simply not enough frac equipment to raise activity, beyond these scenarios we're talking about. There's shortages all over the oil market. There's shortages in tubulars. That's the piping that goes down a well bore. The shortages in labor. They have trouble finding people to staff rigs and fracs. Even the sand required to frac wells is in short supply. So all those things can be solved with higher prices and time, but those are also all drivers of inflation. And although like investors may give operators permission to grow this year, but they're not going to be able to grow at the expense of the efficiency gains they've worked so hard for over the past few years. So I don't think, the kind of scenarios we're talking about, these big growth scenarios, that's why the probability is so remote, because they can't afford to grow in an extreme inflationary environment.
Mm-hmm. So Shika, moving a little bit away from the U.S., we're discussing the Permian. So the growth you're expecting in the U.S. natural gas production, can it help Europe?
We would like to think it could, but actually, I don't think it will, unfortunately. These dislocations are honestly able to support price in the U.S., but ultimately, when we think about what can go out into the global markets, it's capped at what our LNG export capacity is. Any new additions, even in 24, 25 for LNG, tend to be in Louisiana, which that Texas gas won't get to. So you need to find new gas that can actually get into the Louisiana Gulf Coast area to meet that sort of demand. So unfortunately, I don't think that the U.S. can participate as much as everyone is thinking. And ultimately, if you can't even get your gas to market and these supply gluts keep happening in the Northeast or in the Permian, I think it keeps Henry Hub in a supportive price range going forward.
Yes, thank you, Shika. Thank you, Ted. So we right now entering the earnings season, so we'll be waiting to see what the rest of U.S. independent operators have in store for us during the season and what the messaging will be coming with. So for now, it looks like we can expect significant growth out of the U.S. in both oil and gas this year and may even get more than what we're currently penciling in our balances. Thanks for listening, and please watch for the new research from JP Morgan Global Commodities on JP Morgan Markets. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. 2022, JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on February 4th, 2022.